Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Considerations, and I'm your host, Frederick Henry. Today we're going to be looking at Rand Paul, Hillary Clinton, Rush Limbaugh, and Sean Hannity. And I'm going to start with the last two, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. I happen to be a listener to these two people a lot less than I did before the last presidential election for this reason. Before the last presidential election, I was an avid fan of Rush Limbaugh because I thought he was the very best talk show host, the creator of what I consider the modern talk show. And every which way you can cut it, I think that Rush Limbaugh is an expert at what he does. He's a professional in every possible way. I get a big kick out of him that he says he's 99.7% wrong and he's debating or contesting the last 3%. That kind of humor is very self-effacing, although he actually means it in a certain way, and he does it tongue-in-cheek in another. So anyway, in the last election, I have a very strong feeling that if the conservative talk show hosts like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, and many of the others had backed the Republican candidate, and because these people claim they're Republicans, look it up on the internet, it says Rush Limbaugh, Republican, Sean Hannity, Republican, so on. You know, they don't have to reveal their party affiliation, and they're not required to tell us who they would vote for if they were voting. But they did back other people. I think they backed very conservative people. I know Santorum, who didn't have a snowball's chance in hell of gaining the nomination nor the election, very much supported for his values as a Roman Catholic, anti-abortion, and so on. And he backed and backed and backed against all possibilities. And Rush Limbaugh very seldom dealt with anything positive to speak of in terms of the actual candidate, Mitt Romney. And I believe that also many of the other people, like Santorum and others who are running, Newt Gingrich, had a large following in the electorate. And remember those horrendous debates they were having. I found it so stressful to see the Republican candidates tearing at each other as so many cats and trying to hurt each other in with more vicious and more vicious attacks. Now, that's not to say that Hillary Clinton didn't find that same experience herself from her antagonists and rivals, but I will tell you that it was quite stressful for me to see it from the Republicans. Anyway, where I want to go with that is to say that it's my belief that Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, anyone who was in the conservative Republican camp contributed greatly to the defeat of the Republican Party in the last election. Now, I was just listening to Rush Limbaugh the other day, and he said, well, the theme was that Romney couldn't deliver. The candidate can only do as much as a candidate can do. And I think that Mitt Romney had a good organization, had a good campaign. He worked tirelessly to get out among the people. He picked an excellent running mate in Paul Ryan. He had a wonderful agenda. He had a wonderful platform. It was well-funded, and he ran an excellent and straight-up campaign of honesty and integrity. They refused to stoop to the low-level attack system that was being used against him by the Obama campaign. This didn't please Limbaugh. This didn't please Sean Hannity. It didn't please Mark Levin. I don't think the candidate pleased them. They weren't terribly happy with him. And I will make a suggestion that it's because he didn't listen to what they had to say and do exactly as they told him to do. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't know what they said. I'm sure that Mitt Romney was well informed about Rush Limbaugh, about Sean Hannity, about Mark Levin, and the others. But he didn't decide to take orders from them. He's not going to take orders as a presidential candidate from talk show hosts. That doesn't mean he doesn't agree with them. It doesn't even mean that he doesn't listen to them. He may even tune them in. However, they were very unhappy with his stance. I remember one particular program when Rush Limbaugh talked about the true conservative being a Rush Limbaugh conservative. Well, that's fine. Rush can, he's entitled to his opinions. Sean Hannity the same. However, I think that they were major forces in contributing to the defeat of Mitt Romney as a Republican candidate in the last election, along with the other candidates, Santorum, Rand Paul's father, Ron Paul, and Gingrich and the others, who had such a strong following among their own types, and their followers were so ferociously in their camp that when it came time to vote, it is my belief that these same people did not throw their support to the actual candidate. They did not throw their money, although they probably didn't need it, to the actual candidate. And I believe that they never voted at all. They voted by staying home. Even today, when you listen to some of the people calling into Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh shows, they talk about, well, if we can't get the right candidate, we're not going to vote at all, which is to say, let's hypothetically say that Hillary Clinton was hypothetically the candidate. Not to vote for the Republican candidate is automatically to cast your vote in favor of the Democrat candidate. So if my theory is correct and a large number of Santorum and Newt Gingrich and the like supporters didn't vote but stayed home and sat on their hands, plus all of those who listened to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, so 25 or 30 million people nationwide, if the grand majority of them stayed home and didn't vote at all, then that's why Mitt Romney is not the president, and we've suffered through 2 years, 2 months, and now we're going to suffer through another 22 months of the Obama administration, their imperial ways, the usurpation of Congress, their illegal actions, and their, well, how did Giuliani put it, and their lack of love for America. Now, that sounds so judgmental, but, you know, what can you say? I remember Giuliani saying that, and I would add this to it. He said, I, Rudy Giuliani, do not believe that the President of the United States, Barack Obama, loves America in the same way that we love America. Now, that's a qualitative statement and a quantitative statement. The word love is the qualitative statement. And as in the same way as, or as much as, phraseology means that we're putting a quantity on that. Now, you can say, how can anybody see into another person's heart? The point being, of course, that they can't, but the quantitative statement is a judgment. Rudy Giuliani is entitled to make that statement. He's allowed to make. He has freedom of speech. He's an American citizen. So he can do what he wants in terms of that, especially in political free speech. So if we're talking about political free speech, we're talking about a person who says, well, I don't think that the President of the United States loves the country as much as or in the same way that I do. Well, fine. You know, that's your opinion. Many people agree with that opinion and feel that, the kind of passionate love affair with America that you may believe, if you care to, that Rudy Giuliani has is not the same in quality or quantity as President Obama. Hey, you know, that's not a big deal. I wouldn't get myself wrapped around the axle about that. A lot of people believe differently. A lot of people believe the same. And I'm not going to criticize Rudy Giuliani or anybody for saying that. It's a political comment, and it has nothing to do with hate. I heard a lot of that word, hating. I don't think Rudy Giuliani hates the president. I don't think anyone who has that opinion hates the president. It's just that's their opinion, and they express it in a certain kind of phraseology that some people feel is unfortunate. I don't find it problematic for me. I just don't see it. Okay, next item, Rand Paul. Did Rand Paul clap enough? Now, this is really silly. Here we have a person who's a senator, who's a co-sponsor of the Bibi Netanyahu invitation, who's a strong supporter of Israel, who's spoken up repeatedly and repeatedly ever since he became a senator in favor of Israel and support of Israel. And if you know Rand Paul, he claps a certain way. And whether he agreed, maybe he – let's just hypothetical. Let's do a hypothetical. Let's hypothetically say that Rand Paul didn't agree with everything. Not everybody does agree with everything another person says. So we say Rand Paul didn't clap enough. Well, yeah, so what? First of all, who cares? Not because Rand Paul is not important, but clapping is clapping. You know, I go to the opera. I don't watch people clap. I go to the symphony. I don't watch people clap. I go to plays on Broadway. I live in New York City. I don't watch people clap. I don't care what they're doing. So why should you? Well, he's a public figure, and the cameras are on him. And so okay, if the cameras are on you, you have to clap a great deal, and if the cameras on you, you clap a little bit when it's not on you. I don't think Rand Paul is the same as Nancy Pelosi. I think, personally, I happen to think that Nancy Pelosi pays a lot of attention to the cameras. And I'm sure Dr. Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, does the same. He pays attention to the cameras. But to say his clapping was not enthusiastic enough, I personally, I'm dealing with it because it's silly. And that it gained any traction with the news media surprises me immensely. So I would say, why would such a thing as the enthusiasm or supposed lack of enthusiasm of Senator Rand Paul, why would that matter? Well, it doesn't matter unless you want to get him, if you want to attack him, if you want to hold him up for examination or ridicule, if you want to try to impugn his motives. And so we have people on this side. Let's hypothetical on that, too. Hypothetically, you could have one person saying, Rudy Giuliani cannot love the president. Rudy Giuliani cannot even say that the president of the United States does not love America in the same way or to the same quantity or quality that we do. But Rand Paul didn't clap enough, and so we know how Rand Paul felt in his heart. We know Rand Paul is not a supporter of Israel, etc. The proof is in the pudding, of course. Rand Paul is obviously a supporter of Israel, and Rudy Giuliani is obviously an American patriot, so let's not get all wrapped around those axles. Now we go to the next topic because we only have 10 minutes left in a very short broadcast. And forgive me if I'm speaking too quickly. I know I am probably, so I have to slow down. Is Hillary guilty of breaking the law? This is a totally different ballpark here. We're not talking about emotions or affections or patriotism or like that. We're talking about obedience to the law. She was a public official. She was Secretary of State. I'm not mistaken, how does the presidency go? First Barack Obama, then Joe Biden, and then the Speaker of the House, then the President pro tem of the Senate or something like that, and then the Majority Leader of the Senate, I guess, and then the Secretary of State. So fifth in line, 1, 2, 3, 4. Fourth in line after the president for running the country. So she should know the law. She should obey the law. And the law is obvious. If you don't know it, you ask your lawyers. We've had plenty of people talking about it. Isn't it a strangeness, to say the least, that Mrs. Clinton, Secretary Clinton at the time, should have a private server in a home, a private email, many several named accounts for her emails, that 55,000 of them should have been brushed through to her, you know, sifted through, and handed over as the ones that affect the State Department, where the other million don't. I'm going to let the pundits and the courts, and I think it should go to the courts, go there. I think somebody should stand up, like the Attorney General, and file charges, because this is an obvious and clear breaking of the law, and let the jury decide. We're not going to decide this on the Megyn Kelly show or any of the other shows, but it obviously should be decided by a competent court of jurisdiction. And if the State Department isn't going to follow through on it, then maybe the Justice Department should follow through on it. And the Justice Department and the State Department shouldn't be allowed to be the judge and jury. I do not feel comfortable when a senior administration official of any administration breaks the law, clearly breaks the law, and seemingly intentionally breaks the law, puts the national security at risk. And at the same time, we have the State Department saying, well, you know, that's the way it goes. We're not going to follow up on this. And others saying, well, you know, that's the way it goes. We decided, like a DOJ, hypothetically, would say, we decided it's okay. It doesn't matter. We're not going to prosecute. A slip of the tongue. Prosecute Mrs. Clinton, ex-President Clinton's wife and former Secretary of State and Senator. I can't imagine her not knowing the rules, and she obviously broke the rules with intention, it seems to me. So that's so much for that. Rush Limbaugh and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner. I don't think Rush Limbaugh likes him. I now here you go, like and dislike, love and not love. Let's put it that way. Every time I hear him speak of Rush Limbaugh speak of John Boehner, I hear the words weak. John Boehner is weak. I hear the same thing from Sean Hannity. I hear the words that the speaker caved in, he gave over, he surrendered to. All right, let's start at the beginning. First of all, John Boehner is an elected official. That's number one. He's been elected by his constituents many times. That's number two. He was elected by his compatriots, his fellow congresspeople, to become the speaker. He won the election by an overwhelming number of people who chose him to be the speaker. And so he's the speaker, the third most powerful man in the country, of the House of Representatives. Now, this man has 100, 200, 300 plus senators, congresspeople, 400 altogether with the senators and the extras and so on. I'm not going to use the actual number because I'm actually afraid to use it. Somebody's going to attack me. It's not this many, it's that many. The point is, John Boehner has to round up the many different opinions, the many different voices, the many different interests, the many viewpoints of his congressional people and bring them on board to see one view, which is the bill, whatever the bill is. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been on committees of five people, and I couldn't get all five people to agree. I've been on a jury of 12 people. I haven't seen the fighting that goes on to get 12 people to agree, even a majority of the 12, in a simple civil trial for monetary damages. I've been in larger groups of people in school where I was assigned assignments to run a program, and maybe there were 15 or 20 people who were in the leadership of that program. It's extremely difficult to get them to all agree on one topic at the same time. So we have people of passion, people of who are elected. We have people who are representatives. We have people who are in the Congress, we're going to say. And you're going to ask one man to be responsible for rounding all of them up to see one viewpoint and then to vote for that one viewpoint and then to follow it up with positive comments. That's a lot to do. And I have the ultimate respect for Speaker Boehner. I can imagine it must be a very difficult job. He obviously likes the job. He does a good job of it, I believe. I think he has been exemplary as a congressperson. I think he's exemplary as the Speaker of the House. And he's doing the best he can. That he doesn't always win or he doesn't do it the way Rush Limbaugh would do it. Well, maybe we should give it over to Rush Limbaugh and make him the Speaker and tell him, well, Rush, you get these several hundred congressmen and senators to agree to one thing. I don't think you can do it, Rush. Same thing with Sean. Now, with Sean, I feel a little bit, I'm going to do it, but I feel a little bit anxious about doing it because I don't like to accuse people. But Sean Hannity oftentimes has used the word cowardly in respect to Speaker Boehner and used the word coward in response to Speaker Boehner and something about him, weakling and weak. Need and weak leadership and no leadership. These accusations are really nasty, I believe, and unfair. And this is the reason. How is Speaker Boehner going to answer Sean Hannity when Sean Hannity says he's cowardly, or Sean Hannity says he acts in a cowardly fashion, or maybe even says the word is a coward, or weak leadership, or weakling, or he caves? How is the Speaker of the House of Representatives going to answer that? Is he going to take Sean Hannity on name for name, mano y mano? Of course not. I mean, you just don't do that. You're the Speaker of the House of Representatives. You don't respond to every talk show host. Not to be mean to Sean. I know Sean makes a lot of money and has a very significant position in media and is to be respected. I do respect him, but he's not going to elevate Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or Mark Savage to the position of being answered directly. He just doesn't do that. It's not what speakers of the House of Representatives do. So in that sense, I would be bold to say that, you know, mano y mano is not what's going on here. It's really a one shot. In other words, Sean shoots arrows in the direction of Speaker Boehner, so does Rush, or anybody else. They shoot him down, they shoot at him, they shoot him in the heart, they kick him in the and there's no way the speaker can respond. You know, he can't take off the gloves and go into the boxing match with Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. He just has to take it. Now, I suggest that that's not a very manly way to act. I don't think that the talk show hosts are being manly. I personally think that you don't defeat a man, or you don't attack a man, who will automatically be defeated because he can't answer. I don't think you can attack a person, especially a public official, with a mean-spirited way without hurting yourself as with your own integrity. Now, I know the Obama administration answers directly. They even use the word Fox News, and they're childish on their part, too. You know, grin and bear it and move forward. I like Fox News. I like Sean Hannity. I like John Boehner. I like Rush Limbaugh. In a certain way, I like Hillary because she's a human person, a human being, a mother and a grandmother. Maybe that's what she should be, a mother and a wife and a grandmother. And I admire Rand Paul. I think Rand Paul has a lot to say and a lot to contribute. And I think that the fact that he's being targeted for the amount of clapping or non-clapping indicates that many, many powerful people in the media regard him as a viable candidate for president of the United States. Okay, that's it for today. Quick show. I spoke rather quickly, and I apologize if the quality isn't that good. This is Considerations, and this is the type of show I'd like to do with you, make commentary on the news. I'm Frederick Henry, and thank you very much for listening to Consideration.